Page one, no corrections. Page two. Page four. Page five. Question?
Just a correction under 3.3, the second bullet. The program should read, the program Superior Court Services and Judicial Education and Support.
What?
The program, it should read, the program Superior Court Services and Judicial Education and Support.
The other people don't seem to know what we're talking about. Can you just?
Under 3.3, the second bullet, we're talking about the alignment between the plans and the NDP and the MTSS. And we're talking about the two programs, but the names of the programs have changed slightly. So it should actually read the program Superior Court Services instead of Judicial Support and Court Administration, and Judicial Education and Support instead of Judicial Education and Research.
Okay, I will all help you. That is on page 5. Page 6. Page 6. Page 7. Page 9. Page 10.
Just at the bottom of page 12, under 5.1, I refer to the Judicial Services Committee and so the Judicial Services Commission. It's a typographical error.
We all have to do that. Page 13. Committee understands that
there is a process to amend the Restitution of Land Rights Act. Is that true? Where is that happening? I know there was an introduction of another legislation to extend the period. Where is this one coming from?
My understanding was that there is a committee bill before the portfolio committee.
This portfolio committee?
On land reform, rural development and land reform.
Have you seen it?
I haven't seen it yet. Well, I did look on the internet, I just looked briefly. I'm not convinced that it addresses our problem. So that's why I think we should perhaps speak to them.
I thought what
we were saying is that that act was actually passed before the current constitution, and it needs to be reviewed because most of the problems and the delays in the land restitution are attributable to that act. You have a huge bureaucracy of land claims, commissions. There are matters that must go to the court. They don't even reach the court. And we were saying that the Department of Justice and Rural Development have got to come together to review this thing, because now we have problems of land invasions because people are impatient with what is happening. And the problem is not with the people, the problem is with the law, and the law did not make itself, it's made by Parliament, and Parliament must correct the wrong laws that itself has made. But this does not reflect that concern. And we have been repeating this many times. And also on the appointment of judges, we raise the question of the demographic representation of the judges and the tenure of the judges there, and that's not captured. Because if the majority of the land claimants are African people and the judges, the demography does not reflect that people are not going to have confidence in the court. They will think that the court is loaded against them. And also, how does, for 20 years, why are we not able to appoint permanent judges? There must be an explanation why there are no appointments for 20 years, and this court has been existing. Is this a fair reflection of the concerns of the committee? I'm not addressing myself. So, can we really phrase this report in a way that reflects the concerns that were raised? Page 15. But also, you know, we raise the question of the competence. If people are going to train presiding officers for traditional courts, the question is whether or not those people themselves are competent to do so. Because if you know nothing about traditional law and traditional courts, how do you train people about something that you don't know yourselves? And that raises the question whether indigenous laws should not be made compulsory in the universities, and whether indigenous languages should not be made compulsory. Otherwise, we are not taking the majority of the people of this country seriously. And these things must be reflected. Who is training presiding officers in the traditional courts? Where were those people trained? What do they know about the traditional laws?
Can you speak to it?
I'm just saying that we are supposed to schedule a meeting with Sajay on issues like this. So I was thinking that maybe perhaps we schedule that meeting and then get a full picture of, you know, the training that is being provided to judicial officers. Then if the committee is not happy with the content, then that maybe we can produce a detailed report on the issue of training and languages.
Yeah, so I think we should then
say that we are not happy and specify what we are not happy about, and say we will schedule a meeting with Sajay. There's also the Justice College. What is the Justice College doing? Who are they training where? And who oversees the Justice College? So let's capture these things. Otherwise, it's like we're just sitting here to cover up for other people. And I don't think we're elected to come here to cover up. page 16. Then we say recommendations, we just say we support the budget, maybe because we foresee we may be in trouble with the law, so that the judges must not find us guilty. And then we just say we don't recommend anything out of fear of jail. So, Christine, is that all that we can recommend here? Because the recommendations must also flow from the body of the report.
They should be guided by the committee as to the recommendations.
No, the committee has to consider the report, and the drafters of the report must make sure that the report contains all the elements. Unless you want the committee to help you to.
I can add the recommendations and further recommendations.
Add the recommendations, because they, as we say, they must flow from the report. Yeah. Okay. Honourable members, we raised the issue of the representation of the judges in the claims court. The judge president is Judge Y. Mia. She's acting, and I think she has been acting for 10 years. And it's gone. And then there are three other judges, Acting Judge Kanka, Acting Judge Nube, Acting Judge Mulefe. I think Christine will have to be listening to one another. They are, the judge president of the Land Claims Court is acting, and there are three other judges acting, Kanka, Nube, Mulefe. And we have not been given an explanation why all the judges in such an important court, a land claims court, where the land is at the center of the politics of the country, why everybody is acting. What explanation is there? And is this committee happy with this situation? Unless, if we are saying the problems that we are there, we are creating for ourselves. Because we expect the land to be restituted, and that court is central to the restitution of the land, but people are acting. Can we again, maybe again, say that we must address a letter to the department to find out why is impossible to appoint, because the Judicial Services Commission is meeting from time to time, and that commission is responsible for appointing judges. Does it mean that there are no people who are interested in being appointed to that judge? To that court. What? Where is the problem? Can the report really raise the critical issues? Okay. Any proposal for the adoption of the report?
vulnerable stuff.
Yes, I am for the adoption.
Any second, Dan?
Honorable and lousy seconds.
Any opposition? None. Let's take hands for those who support the adoption of the report. The hands I see, 1, 2, 4, 5. Okay, the report is duly.
The DA, what is your position on the report?
We abstain.
Okay, the DA abstains. The report
is duly adopted. Thank you very much, honorable members. Mrs. Ross, we haven't been seeing you for long, and you are most welcome. Thank you very much. Can we deal with the responses to the traditional courts bill? The floor is yours.
Thank you, Chair. A number of submissions were received in respect of the traditional cost bill, which the department has then summarized and put in a document. The document was circulated to the committee this morning. I must mention, Chair, and I apologize for the late submission of the report because of the volume of the submissions that were made, and we had to make sure that we go through each and every one and capture each one of them to make sure that they are accounted for. The submissions, I'll start from right from the long title of the bill, because we group them either into by clauses themselves or the theme under which a submission is made. Now, coming to the long title of the bill, the Eastern Cape House, the provincial house of traditional leaders in the Eastern Cape, submits that the long title must give recognition to the traditional courts as courts of law, equal in stature to other courts of law. And to this, the department acknowledges that the traditional courts are referred to in item 16 of Schedule 6 of the Constitution. However, it would appear as if there is no clear-cut position regarding their status as a court of law, because the Constitution merely requires the recognition of traditional courts as they exist at the time the Constitution was adopted.
Isn't it true that the law, the Constitution, makes customary law, gives customary law the same status as Roman Dutch law and English common law? What else do we expect? What other clarity do we need?
There, Chairperson, the Constitution again in Chapter 8, when it refers to courts in Section 156. In Section 166, where it refers to the judicial system of the country, and it says the courts are the Constitutional Court, the Supreme Court of Appeal, the High Court, the Magistrate Court, and any other court established or recognized in terms of an Act of Parliament, including any court of status similar to either the High Court or the Magistrate Court. And it needs to be noted that the traditional courts are not specifically mentioned.
Word any other, can that not be read to include the traditional courts?
That is why, Chairperson, we are of the view that there is no clear cut because it is not specifically mentioned.
Clear cut. How? Why do you say there's no clear cut? If it says any other, what is the content of any other? Can that any other be the traditional cause?
Chair, a challenge to that, if we are to read the traditional cause under Chapter 8 of the Constitution, is the challenge that the persons who preside under or convene the traditional courts will have to go through the same processes as persons who preside, the presiding officers of the court in Section 166
what
of the Constitution.
Go through the processes. What are the
such as the requirements for appointment, and then the appointment process itself of being subjected to the processes of the Judicial Service Commission or the Magistrates Commission. And the qualification requirement as well.
Thank you, Chair. If I may ask, why would they want to subject the presiding officers to such processes, because I believe people are Western and this traditional court, why would you subject them then to another kind of, to some foreign process, yet they won't be dealing with matters of such?
The reason for them having to go is for uniformity, because for the judicial officers under Section 166 of the Constitution in Chapter 8 under courts have those processes to go through, and that is why the approach of the bill is to emphasize the restorative justice of the traditional courts as opposed to the retributive system of that is applied in the conventional courts, because the two systems have a different value system, with the traditional courts applying the restorative justice system, because there they emphasize healing the relations between the parties and reconciliation and restitution, whereas with restorative a retributive system is a matter of the system is so detached from the parties, because the court, you know, is the prosecution and then the judgment and then the prison term, and whereas the traditional justice system does not focus on that. Rather, it focuses on healing the relations between the parties and restoring the relations between the parties. The main difference is between the value systems, that the two systems, the conventional courts and the traditional courts, that they apply.
I think we must just agree that for 20 years this thing has been on the table. We have not engaged sufficiently, and therefore we find it very difficult to deal with the recommendations made. It really means that a dialogue, a sufficient dialogue, has got to take place elsewhere, because here we are not here to discuss philosophy, but to make the law, and this debate should have taken place elsewhere. Honorable Guterres.
No, thanks, Chair. I think I will just not go further, except to say I'm a bit confused with the explanation, and I can't find nexus between the traditional court and the other one, because she just mentioned something to say the traditional court is more about restorative justice, is true, and the other one, she used the term to say detached from people. But now, why do subject people that will be doing restorative justice to undergo a process that she terms is different from the traditional system? Then that's my problem. But I understand what she tried to say, but still I can't find any thing that can make me to understand.
You see, the explanation here is the view that has found support is that traditional courts are indeed courts of law in terms of customary law and subject to the constitution. But it seems, okay, as you explained, Chair, customary law, the status of customary law is in that of other laws, like the English common law and the Roman Dutch law. So. What is the contradiction here? I don't just get it, because it seems somehow then these courts, which are recognized as court of law, on the other hand, they are not court of law. What do you mean?
So in short, Honorable Mrs. Ross, we don't agree with your explanation. I think the way it's captured here, as Mr. Honorable Maila has raised it, it's how it should be. That these courts are courts of law in terms of customary law and subject to the Constitution. The other explanations are not taking us anyway. Can we move on?
Can I get clarity there that the position is that the committee
accepts that they are courts of law in terms of customary law
and under the
Constitution?
Yes.
Because that is how it is captured in the bill.
Yeah.
Which would mean there will be no need for revision there. Because what the bill says is like exactly how the text has said, is that they are courts of law in terms of customary law. The other submission is that it's in respect of the preamble of the bill by the Legal Resources Center, where they say the bill needs to make
provision for other levels of dispute resolution as they exist at customer law. And that we're saying the preamble to the bill, as well as clause 6 sub 3, does recognize other levels of personal court, like your family level, your ward level, but it's just that the bill is pitched at the level of the court of the traditional leader, at the traditional court level. It's regulated from that level.
But do we understand that in African society there is the king, there are senior traditional leaders, there are head men and women, and that at all these three levels there are courts? So if we say traditional leader, are we lumping everything together?
And this is asked from a position of largely ignorance, so forgive me. I worry that if the bill is pitched at the level of the court of the traditional leader, how will the other courts then be regulated?
Yes. Can you explain this?
The bill does not prevent other levels from continuing to do the dispute resolution as they have been doing. It doesn't prevent that in any way, only that the regulations, because a dispute can still be registered at from any level, like your lower level, and then when a person still feels unhappy with the decision, the matter will then continue to be escalated to the level where it will be finalized.
But with respect, the ordinary people cannot be expected to work on guesswork.
Yeah.
That matters will be escalated to other levels. We are regulating the traditional court space. If we recognize that there is a court at the headman's or headwoman's level, those that are dissatisfied will have to appeal to the senior traditional leadership's court, and those who are not satisfied will have to appeal to the king's court. And this thing is also a trap to say people must go to the magistrate who has not even been trained in traditional courts. Why are we not coming out straight as to what we are trying to do?
Chair, in clause 12 of the bill does provide for escalation of disputes from one level to the next in a customer law. Because in the previous bill, a provision was made for appeal from the one level to the next. Concerns were raised that the notion of appeal does not exist at customary law.
Who said that?
Who raised that? Who raised that? That the notion does not exist.
Chair, it was raised from. You know, persons who and organizations that made submissions on the bill then. That is why when we revised the bill and in the reference group that the department took place under the auspices of the department, then those issues were teased out, and the issue that there is no notion, the notion of an appeal at customary law is a misnomer.
We requested a report of the reference group. We were not given that report. And then it would be interesting
to know who say that in customary law, the notion of appeal from one level to another does not exist. Because also if you listen to people who never lived in any traditional courts, some of us, I hold a doctorate in law, I come from a traditional court, for me it's not a notion, it's what is happening even today. And why should you go and listen to people who have never been to any traditional? Honorable Mlawuzi, do you want to say something?
Yeah, thank you, Chairperson, because I was very much interested on hearing what the presenter is saying, that the bill, they removed the notion of appeal. It means that this bill will be exposed to abusing the people. Yeah, on its own cost. So, like we said, we need to know who are objecting the notion of appeal in the system of this bill. But however, we would like maybe, it's like the presenter and maybe the department as a whole, they are not entertaining this bill correctly. Because I can't understand from what she is presenting, where we go. We're still on page 2, but we can see the most loopholes which are unsolved in terms of the submission. Thank you, Chairperson.
Mrs. Frost, however much you can explain, you know, most of us come from rural areas. We're born there. Some of us are in our 70s. Appeals are there. And some people come and tell you that the notion does not exist, and in an African country, and you take those notions.
Chair, not that it doesn't exist, that it doesn't exist in the name, is a misnomer in the sense of it being appealed. That rather is an escalation from a matter from one level to the next, which in civil law would be called an appeal.
Because in law we don't even talk about escalation. It's either is an appeal from one level to another or not. What is the escalation? Honorable Mutab.
Say Nagi Khotofari. It means then he or she will then appeal to higher authority. From family is clan, from clan is a village, headwoman or headman. Headman, then it will be senior traditional leader, although here we just said traditional leadership. But traditional leadership here, in terms of the recent definition of traditional leadership, is referring to head men or head women. So if you move from the junior traditional leadership to the village level, and then up to the senior traditional leader, Hoshi, in Hoshi, then up to the most senior one, where a king or queen is available up to that level. By mere fact, by just the agricultural teaching, judgment day. Then there are other levels where that particular aggrieved person will appeal. That's why I don't understand the people who are saying is a misnomer or there's no such a thing as appeal in our customary law. There is such.
Yeah, so you see, our institution of traditional leadership were destroyed by the 1910 constitution, which established the republic, and the Native Administration Act, which said the queen only exists in England, and then the commissioner general is the supreme chief. So if the department doesn't read the history of the distortions, we are going to have distorted approaches. Because this system has been distorted by the the South Africa Act of 1909 and the Native Administration Act and the 1951 Bantu Authorities Act and so on. So the department has got to do the work from where it started. We can't come here and say there's no notion, and then we listen to people also who are educated under the colonial system. Okay, proceed.
There's also a submission, or rather a proposal that the bill should provide clarity on the abuses that are referred to in the Constitution, in the preamble to the bill.
We say Schedule 1 to the bill contains some conduct which is intended to illustrate and highlight the customs and practices which infringe on the dignity, equality, and freedom of persons and which are prohibited. And the bill provides this list of example of practices which is not conclusive and which the bill recommends that it be revised from time to time, so that if any new or light come to about new abuses, then that those can be included in Schedule 1. And that is would be conduct like any conduct which tends to discriminate against the dignity of the members of the lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, and intersex community, any conduct which tends to promote homophobia, conduct which denigrate or discriminate against the elderly or persons who suffer from mental conditions, such as memory loss, dementia, and Alzheimer's disease.
I don't know what we're trying to do now. I thought the law must create jurisdiction. We recognize this as traditional courts. They must have jurisdiction to do certain things. All these abuses, at least, that we're in an anthropology class now. Honorable
Chair, we are saying these courts are courts of law subject to the Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
The Bill of Rights fights against all these abuses.
Yes, exactly.
So this court, if it is subject to the Constitution, there is no need to mention about all these abuses, because this court must actually pass a constitutional muster.
Exactly. So I think let's just leave what we're saying. Hear what was honorable.
Let's say all this insertion of other abuses and things like it's not necessary. It's not necessary.
Okay.
And that's why this committee has repeatedly said, give us the report of your reference group. I think these things come from your reference group, whose report we have not seen, because those things are not necessary. Can you proceed?
I'm afraid that I'm a little lost. If we're going to work through this document, it's a 79, 80-page document, and we're finding difficulties with each matter that's raised. Is there not a more practical way that we can try and go through this, that members can perhaps access the document that you're referring to, that we can work through it on our own, come with suggestions, and then have this presentation?
No.
Otherwise, how are we going to finish it today?
No, actually, you are right. You see, these people who objected, they have appeared before us, and then we have dealt with this. Actually, we have dealt with these matters. So your responses are actually overtaken by events. Can you just quickly go through this thing and not go into the details of abuses and things, because they have appeared legal resources centers before us, National House was before us, Eastern Cape House, everybody has been before us. Just look, I isolate the critical things that pertain to the law, not to anthropology. Honorable.
And I'm sorry, Mr. Chin, I know this isn't the right time to raise it, but is there some way, because, you know, you're fond of telling us that particularly white members of the committee don't know anything about customary law.
I'm sorry, I never said that.
Well, we know very little. I dispute this, because I've had 2 years of customary law at university, but I don't pretend for one moment to understand it fully. I don't understand it fully. And I don't understand the nuances of it, which I would very much like to do in the dealing of this bill. Is there some way that something can be arranged for the committee to attend, where we can get a briefing on the nuances of customary law and the different levels thereof? Because that's not something that you quite correctly point out that you can learn in a year or two at university.
No.
And I would really like the opportunity to access that kind of information.
No, you know what, there are professors of law, customary law, who are white people. It's not about the color. I think this committee was just disadvantaged by the department, which sat on this thing for a long time, appointed a reference group, and they did not favor us with the report of the reference group. We would have read these things for ourselves. So. I think, please, Mrs. Ross, let's just, you know, it's either we're talking about jurisdiction and other things, we can run through this thing and finish it, and this matter still has to go to the NCOP. They will have to go and do public hearings, so we can finalize it here. Yeah, so don't go into details then. Just isolate those critical matters that pertain to the law, not anthropological issues.
Chair, referring to the issue of jurisdiction, that is also a pertinent part of the bill, because I'll always
pass there, because I didn't. With LGBT issues are dealt with elsewhere. You know, no discrimination against people of different sex orientation. We're not dealing with that here. And then treatment of elderly people, we're not dealing with those things here. So just move on.
The clause 2 to the bill contains matters which the bill proposed that the traditional court deal with. And section 2 goes like matters which traditional courts are competent to deal with in terms of this act, in terms of the bill. Theft, where the amount involved does not exceed 5,000 rand. Malicious damage to property, where the property involved, the amount involved does not exceed 5,000. Assault, where grievous bodily harm has not been inflicted. Criminal injury, receiving stolen property with the amount involved not exceeding 5,000 rand. And these are not matters that are big, and because the bill does not make a distinction between civil and criminal matters. And again, because an argument has been advanced that at customary law there are no criminal law specific offenses. And because the bill does not deal with criminal matters as such, but rather deals with disputes between members of the traditional community, because of this emphasis on restorative justice, and Those are the matters, and further, that the traditional court can give advice relating to customary practices, such as ukuthwala initiation, customary marriages, but that only goes to an extent of giving advice thereon and not necessarily adjudicating on those matters. And the other issue, which has been a point of contention, is the issue of opting out of the traditional
justice. We have dealt with that. This committee said that we don't agree with that thing of opting out. Just proceed. You have dealt with jurisdiction. Just move on.
Then there is the issue of representation and participation of women in traditional courts.
We have also addressed that issue. We say there is a traditional governance act which has not been implemented. So there's no problem of representation of women. There's a problem of non-implementation of an existing act of parliament. So the issue of women does not arise.
The women are covered. The act, your department must meet with the Department of Cooperative Government, find out why an act of parliament made by this parliament is not being implemented, because women are covered. So those who raise non-representation of women, it means they've not read the law. The law makes provision for women to participate.
And then there is an issue of reviews, which the bill provides that reviews from the traditional court should lie to the High Court. And the bill also provides for the grounds for review. The reason behind the reviews going to the High Court being for purposes of creating a jurisprudence and on customary law, and also for the High Court to look into matters where there has been procedural shortcomings.
But if we agree that these courts are courts of law, and obviously they are not courts of law at the level of the High Court, Supreme Court, and Constitutional Court, doesn't it go without saying that they must also be subject to review? Why should we debate? Why should we debate? Because also we shouldn't turn the committee into the reference group. There are certain things that go without saying. So let's not debate. Proceed.
There is an issue about transfer of disputes from the traditional court if it's, say, it's a criminal matter and the prosecution is of the view that that matter can be dealt with better as in the traditional court, but that transfer should be on the consent, on condition that the parties consent to it being transferred to the traditional court.
That's another way of opting out. You see, and this committee does not agree with opting out. Why should you transfer? You must allow proceedings to come to an end. And those that are not satisfied must make an appeal. That's how it should work. You know, it would seem you are creating a system for people who are starting to exist for the first time in this world, who never existed before. Proceed. That one is not acceptable to the committee.
On orders that may be made by the traditional court, which is provided for in clause 8 of the bill, some commentators are proposing that the traditional courts be given powers to impose fines. The bill steers clear of that, because the orders that are provided for in the bill are based on the restorative justice rather than on penalties as they exist in conventional courts. And while the previous bill had provided for fines, there was also a criticism in respect of that, because it was argued that
let me assist you. Let's not go back to the debate in the reference group. We want a response from the department. The department must say on this, this is our position, on this, this is our position, and then we'll finish this. But if we recap the debate and what the commentator said, we'll never come to an end. Just give us the final opinion of the department.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but I think we're being a little bit unfair to Ms. Ross. She's trying to present what's in this document, and clearly there's a variation of what the committee wants and what she's presenting. Honestly, I'm finding this a deeply unsatisfying experience. I'm not sure that there's a logical sort of train of thought here. Perhaps the committee should go through this document on their own and make comments on it, and then perhaps we can have a more constructive discussion with Ms. Ross. But at the moment, I'm not sure that anybody else is gaining much from this experience, but I'm gaining very little.
We asked the department to respond, and in the response, we don't want a debate, because they have had an opportunity to debate with the reference group. We're just saying, on this, stay to a position. Don't motivate. If the committee wants motivation, they will call for a motivation. Just say, on this point, this is our position. On this point, this is our position.
Chair, I think that's really contained in the document, so we can read it. I'm not sure that I need Ms. Ross to read it for me.
Okay, I'm advised that tomorrow we have a meeting on this bill, that we should agree with Honorable Breitenbach that the committee members must read your responses, and then tomorrow you come back, we deal with this, with these matters. Honorable Chairman.
Thank you, Chair. I believe what you say now sums up maybe the meeting at the end. But I just wanted to find out whether the presenter is only presenting what she received from a different reference group as opposed to those ones that presented to us. Whether it's other group of people other than those that came to the committee. Because what I find it kind of strange is the fact that there is one particular issue with regards to the issue of fines, where she's saying the reference group was opposed to that. But we didn't. We also received some presentations like from Rwanda Fukin, which were in favor of that, and they even gave us as to how much they thought
the fund should be. Meaning, we've got different people who presented, but it seems as if the report that we get now is only from a specific group which seem to be opposed to the bill per se, if I may say so.
Can you respond?
Chair, these submissions are not submissions from the reference group. They are the submissions as were made to the committee in the public hearings, and the department summed those submissions up. And in you, because in one column is the theme or the clause, and then who commented, who made that particular submission, and then what is the content of the submission, and then the response of the department. So that is how the document is structured. And inside the content of the document, you will find those people who are saying the fines, the bill should provide for fines, because as it is, the bill does not provide for fines now. That who are saying the bill should provide for fines, and those views which are to the effect that there should be no, they agree that there should be no fines because the bill adopts a restorative justice approach. And then to that, it is then the view, the submission, the response of what the department.
And also this thing of restorative justice. You know, there are people who want to put customary law into a jacket to say it's just about restorative justice. We say this is a court of law. The main thing is restorative. But it doesn't mean that everything must fit this jacket called restorative justice. You know, we will appear to be unreasonable because you don't take us on board on time. And now, even now, we have been overtaken by events because we have had an opportunity to listen to all the people here. And then some of the comments that we make are not in line with what the people said before us. And your summaries are not in line with what the people are before us. So can we agree with Honorable Breitenbach that we give these honorable members one more opportunity to go through this document overnight? Tomorrow we meet so that we don't become a reference group. We have to finalize this matter, because it's just not acceptable that Parliament can take 15 years to deal with a law that affects, 80% of the population of this country. It's just not acceptable if we have respect for the voters of this country. Because even when you say the department, I'm not sure that, the politicians, because this department is led by politicians. Whether there was a meeting of politicians who went through these things and said, this is the position of the department. So let's not fight unnecessarily, but we must take the majority of the people of this country who are affected by this law seriously. Because we say we want to restore the dignity of the traditional institutions and the people that are governed by these traditional institutions. So the compromise, without blaming you or the department, is that we afford the honorable members an opportunity to go through this document so that tomorrow they will be able to raise pertinent matters so that we can conclude this process. And this process has to go to the NCOP before Parliament rises. Honourable members, would that be the way to go? Okay. Thank you. So that Honourable Mutapu. The honourable members are happy with that approach. We don't blame you. It's just that this thing has been too long on the table. It was first wrongly introduced into this Parliament and wrongly taken away, and all this thing is not your fault, and it's not the fault of the current leadership of the department, it's those that came before. I don't know. We are all new. We found this confusion reigning, but now we have to sort out these things because our people cannot wait indefinitely. Anything else? Okay, what we'll do, we will excuse you and then you'll be here tomorrow. Then when we dealt with the OCJ, we were not satisfied about the recommendations. Now we just want to hear those recommendations, how they've been phased, so that the committee can finalize that. You are well excused. Yeah, this is not personal, it's not against you, it's against how ourselves as this parliament have failed to deal with issues. Thank you.
Okay, so under six recommendations I've written, okay, 6.1 is remains of faith. The committee, having considered the budget vote 22, Office of the Chief Justice and Judicial Administration, Commerce, supports it and recommends that it be approved. Then at 6.2, the committee will request a meeting with the Chief Justice and Heads of Court to discuss matters in relation to court performance and other matters of mutual interest. Semicolon, and ask that the OCJ assist to arrange the meeting. 6.3, the committee recommends further that the ministry engage with the Ministry of Rural Development and Land Reform on the need to expedite a review of the legislation relating to land restitution, and in particular the permanent tenure and proper capacitation, the permanent tenure of the judges appointed to the Land Claims Court and the proper capacitation of that court. As a matter of urgency. 6.3.2, the Minister introduced the legislation to promote a single judiciary in line with Section 166 of the Constitution as a matter of urgency. 6.3.3, a court administration model is finalized as soon as possible. 6.3.4, the Judicial Services Commission table a report on its activities as required by the enabling legislation as a matter of urgency. 6.3.5, a meeting with both SAJE and Justice College is scheduled as soon as the program permits to discuss the training of traditional leaders and clerks in support of the traditional courts. 6.3.6, the OCJ look into how it can embark on an outreach program within the limited resources available to it.
Isn't it the right time to say that if customary law has the same status as Roman Dutch law and common law, the curriculum in the university must make these systems compulsory subjects, and also these laws are communicated through indigenous languages, that indigenous languages, at least one, should be compulsory. Otherwise, I think we are living in another world, but we are practicing law in South Africa. Why are we not specific? Christine, I'm talking to you.
I can put a sentence in around a recommendation around that.
Because I know that senior judges go and train traditional leaders, but they can't speak their languages, some of them, and people must review. We're talking about review of courts of traditional leaders, but they don't know the customary law. Well, how can you review something you don't know? And then we say we want to restore the dignity of these institutions and the people that are subject to these laws. Please, let's be specific. And then if Parliament wants to reject our recommendations. Let Parliament, is the highest authority, let it reject. But we cannot be wishy-washy as this committee. Honourable members, do we subject to those recommendations added abide by our recommend acceptance of the report? So
the report was adopted. All that we had requested was that the recommendations be amplified, so that takes care of the proceedings of this meeting. Honourable members, Honourable Pumlan, you know the elders must have the final say in it. Like I say, we accepted, adopted the report on OCJ. On correctional policies, but we just felt that the recommendations must be amplified, and that's what has happened. So this brings this meeting to an end. The other thing is on traditional policies.
We are saying that members must go and read the responses of government, and then tomorrow we can finalize that so that the bill can be referred to the NCOP.
I agree with you, and I want to propose that.
Okay. Okay, and then the meeting is adjourned. Can we request that the ANC members stay behind? That's a request of the whip of the ANC.